Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever time of day it may be, wherever you are, when you made that decision to hit that play button. I'm so glad you did. This is Stephen J. Kuzmina with another entry in our prosperity series, your prosperity series. Thanks for following along, coming with me this far. Hopefully this is having an impact on your life. Hopefully this is having an impact on your dreams, and you're beginning to see wins in your life. It's one thing we really haven't talked about is those wins. Make sure you pay attention. There's no small, big, little. I mean, everything's a win. Everything's a win when you notice things are really going in your favor. Most of the time, they always are anyway. Just depends on our perspective. We'll do a whole series on wins and that noticing what we're noticing that I touched on briefly in a prior episode. For right now, I want to talk a little bit more about that giving. We have talked about giving, forgiving. The entry prior to this one was on forgiving. We did a whole series on thanksgiving. We did an entry on giving by being a person of increase in the way we move about our day, move about our life. By being a person of increase to others, by giving away our smiles, our warmth, our love, our words, encouragement, praise, and blessings to all of life that we encounter along this positive path for spiritual living. So today we're going to move into yet another part of that giving, because we're immersed anyway in the divine givingness. We are standing in the flow of the divine givingness. What we're really doing now is making sure that we're aligned with the source of that givingness, that we remain in alignment as throughout our day. We are cooperating with the principles, the spiritual principles of prosperity and abundance and attraction and specificity. So what's that white elephant in the room? Is that the big T? Is that the big T about tithing? Yeah, we'll talk about that a little bit today. A lot of programs put that right in the front and maybe hit you over the head with it. Maybe they put it at the end. It doesn't matter. It's all part of our prosperity. And it's not really a white elephant or a bad thing unless we give it that kind of meaning. It's like, do we look at it? Okay, how much of my money do you want? What do you want me to give? See, we got to flip that around. That's what this entry today is all about. We're going to have a little fun with it. My, oh my, oh my, did I go kicking and screaming to tithing? There's no way. But I was in a place that really all I saw was lack. I dabbled in it. I went to ministerial school and paying tuition and having a new property in northern Michigan and bills and school and tuition, and that was at a time when the gas prices were going through the roof and I wasn't getting reimbursed for gas, and I just saw lack, and now I gotta give. And then I had that struggle that, well, you're gonna be a minister, dude. Dude, you're gonna be a minister. So if you're gonna talk about prosperity and tithing, well, you gotta do it yourself. Because see, that's one thing I think I told you that I won't do. I won't get behind this microphone or get in a pulpit or get behind a podium and talk about something that I'm not doing in my life. One of model and demonstrate everything that I talk about. So I got on board with it, but I was still like, oh, gosh, is this painful? But I was doing it and getting comfortable with it. I was stepping outside my comfort zone. So let's look at this a couple different ways. First of all, why is it 10%? I mean, at least 10%. We see that throughout Scripture, really. A tenth. We see the tenth of one's crops, a tenth of Joseph and all the tenth that he pledges to the Lord. We hear a promise of God, the last promise of the Old Testament, and I think the only place that God, for those of you that take Scripture as the Word of God, I think the only place that God says, prove me, I'll prove it to you, prove me in your life, in Malachi 3:10. It says, bring the full tithe, a tenth, full tithe, into the storehouse, so there may be food in my house, and thus put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts. See if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you an overflowing blessing. He's not only making a promise within there, a covenant, the last covenant of the Old Testament or Hebrew Scriptures, but he's saying, prove me, and I will show you. So we bring that in. But here's the key. You know what? I say I went kicking and screaming and not a whole lot happened because I was tithing, feeling a sense of obligation that I must do this. And I had to make that shift to being a cheerful giver, to expecting nothing in return. We don't tithe to get. It's just like a relationship. This is a relationship with the divine. You're probably not going to go real far in your relationship if you enter into a relationship to see what you can get rather than what you can give and expecting the love that you have to grow to be an unconditional love in your heart for that other person or for God, whatever relationship that you're in. So if you're going to consider tithing, giving in this way, you must do it for the joy of giving. And it may be difficult at first. It may be. Boy, we just want to hold on to everything because that lack consciousness is so ingrained, that limited consciousness that if I give, you'll have more and I'll have less. And that's it. But we forget that we suspend the how and we get filled right back up to overflowing when we are a cheerful giver. Charles Fillmore addresses this cheerfulness. He opens his chapter on tithing, the road to prosperity, talking about the tenth and the tithe in that portion that we give up. He talks about the verse in Malachi that I just mentioned. But Charles also summarizes what I just said. He says, but gifts should be made because it is right and because one loves to give, not from a sense of duty or for the sake of a reward. Because one loves to give, not from a sense of duty or for the sake of a reward. So we're not sitting down and writing that check and say, okay, here you go, God. Multiply this baby. I'm doing my part. I'm going to sit back and wait for it to come in. We must get ourselves to the point where it feels good. And that's where that faith comes in that we talked about in the very first episode. We give, we let it go, and we do it cheerfully. We write our bills out cheerfully. We give and let it flow cheerfully. Where do we give? We give. When we're tithing, we give to our source of spiritual nourishment. That may be your church. Maybe my ministry. It may be someone who feeds you spiritually. I remember being in the heating and cooling industry, and every year we signed new contracts to new contractors up to our marketing program. And one of the guys that came on board with me, things were a little tight with him, and he was actually an ordained minister but working in the heating and cooling industry. And we sat at a coffee shop, and he told me his story, and the meeting went on much longer than most of my meetings like that went on. And he spoke for about a half an hour about his story and about his faith. I took my checkbook out right there. I wrote him a check. I think it was for $40. That was my tithe that week. But I was giving to where I was spiritually nourished that week. You see, it says to bring the full tithe into the storehouse so there will be plenty. So we're supporting those places, those people, places, things that nourish us spiritually. Maybe it's a publication. Maybe it's the Daily Word or Science of Mind. I've tied there too, Centers for Spiritual Living. So we support those places that feed us and nourish us spiritually. And through faith, we do it because it feels good. Whenever I start scratching my head wondering how that next bill's going to get paid, I don't fret. I remember faith. I remember God is my source, unfailing and all providing. I put it aside and I don't look for how it's going to be done. I look for where I can give. How can I give? How can I be a person of increase? If you're not all the way down with this here, I learned this the hard way too. You think tithing doesn't work or it won't work for you? Try doing it and then stop. Oh, boy. Try doing it and then stop, and then you'll be a believer. Charles Fillmore says, when a person obeys the law of God along any line, his faith immediately becomes strengthened in proportion and his doubts disappear. When anyone puts God's first in his finances, not only in thought but in every act, by releasing the first fruits, a tenth part of his increase or income to the Lord, his faith in omnipresent supply becomes a hundredfold stronger, and he prospers accordingly. Obeying this law gives him an inner knowing that he is building his finances on a sure foundation that will not fail him. You have to have that faith. You have to have that knowing. And just give. Because your cup will be filled to overflowing. I love this little story that I share in my prosperity workshops. It's from a book called God's Abundance, 365 Days to a Simpler Life. And that's by Kathy Collard Miller. An entry for July 2nd says, are you frustrated because you cannot give as much money as you would like to the causes you think are important? Do you wish you could give more to your local church? Have you felt empty because you couldn't help someone in need? Do you feel, at the same time, a pressure to increase your standard of living with each increase in pay? One man committed himself to God to give a certain percentage of his income as long as he lived. From his first week's pay, he gave a dollar to the Lord. Soon his weekly offering had increased to $10. As time went on, he continued to prosper. Before long, he was giving $100 a week, then $200, and in time, $500 a week. This process started out as an intense joy, as he felt his hard work was making life better for many people. But after a while, he found himself in conflict. He began to think that it was, after all, his money, and that he shouldn't be giving away so much. Finally, he called a close friend. He said, you remember the promise I made to God years ago? How can I get released? When I made the promise, I only had to give a dollar. But now it's $500. I can't afford to give away money like that. His wise friend said, I'm afraid you cannot get a release from the promise. But there is something we can do. We can kneel down and ask God to shrink your income so that you can afford to give a dollar again. Seek to live a life that enables you to give to others and to the causes you believe in. Money is a cruel master. If it dominates your decisions in life, you may find yourself struggling with discontent, jealousy, or simply the continual search for more wealth or possessions. If, on the other hand, you are able to discipline your financial life so that you can give, you will find joy and freedom. I've had some remarkable things happen to people in the workshops and courses that I have taught. I'll hold back the name, but a dear lady, dear friend, went through and was really struggling in the beginning of the course. We talked about it being a tithing-based course, and on her fixed Social Security income, she said, I don't know if I can do this. I just, you know, I can't make ends meet now with the money that I got coming in, and to give up 10%, wow. I said, well, that's something that you have to decide. I never push anybody or tell anybody what to do. You have to search your own heart for that. Well, she jumped in, and she jumped in with both feet and gave it all and was happy about it. And she said, I don't care. This is it. This either works or it doesn't. And I'll be gosh darn, she was the first one to raise her. Well, she wasn't. She was kind of shy. She didn't raise her hand, but she would share with me her wins every week in private, and every week there was one. It could have been something in the mail. It often was, she loved those scratch-off, and she loved her lottery ticket, so I guess there was enough left over for those. She was always winning every week. She entered a lot of contests and free contests and was always coming up a winner. It's just amazing, her story. And I could name story after story after story. People with no income, just a little bit, maybe here and there from odd jobs, turning their lives around, writing books, buying their dream homes with no money. Just incredible, the stories. So search your heart. Know that the promise has been made. Know that the law has been proven. And decide to feel good about giving. And do this thing called tithing. And give from your heart. And give with joy. It might be hard to give with joy in the beginning because we are fighting that habit that there's not enough, that there's lack, that there's limitation in our lives. What I do in my workshops and classes is when it's time to bless our offering, I often put on a funny story or a funny video or babies laughing or something about animals that cheers us up, and we write that check or we make that offering while we are laughing, while we are filled with joy, or we'll dance up to the offering basket. I'll put on some Don't Worry, Be Happy music, and we will make a little conga line up to the basket, and we'll start feeling good about giving, and then we just release it. Because we're doing all this other work anyway. So this clears another block. We feel worthy. We're doing our part. We're participating. We're participating in the flow, in the rhythm, in the circulation. That's what this is all about. We're circulating. We're not allowing the energy of money, which is God's anyway, to be stagnant by holding on to it. All of life is a circulation, is change. Rise and flow of the tides, the ebb and flow of the tides. We breathe in, we breathe out. We give, we receive. We are blessed. We give thanks, we receive grace. But do it not for the reward, do it for the joy of giving in all areas of your lives. And give of your time by being a volunteer. Give of your talent. Maybe you play the piano and you can cheer some at a nursing home or assisted living home. But give. Give with joy of your time, of your talent, of your treasure. Share and give. You'll never run out when it comes from joy, not from obligation, not for the sake of a reward. And remember, a tithe is giving to where you are spiritually nourished. It's a little different than the question always comes up, so I just throw it out here. You decide what's right for you. But a charitable contribution like to Easter Seals or giving to a friend in need or something like that, that's a charitable contribution, which is different than a tithe. We want to be a person that gives in all areas of our lives. But tithe is a little more specific for those that want to follow the letter of the law. Just thought I'd put that in there. I want to share, in closing, a piece by Ernest Holmes that sums up. You can hear the paper shuffling here. I got a lot of material out here today because I get into this and there's so much to share. And I share and give with joy. This from Ernest Holmes, Science of Mind 365. He starts off with a quote from Mark chapter 11, verse 24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. There could be no more explicit technique for effective prayer than this, laid down by the Master himself. We actually are to believe that we already possess the object of our desire when we ask for it. We are to accept it, even as we believe in the harvest that follows the spring planting. Therefore, every spring should be one of hope, and every harvest one of full fulfillment. We must learn to accept the good we desire and affirm its presence in our experience. Realizing that there is a law of good that governs my affairs, I loose every thought of doubt, fear, or uncertainty, and accept the good that I desire, here and now. Realizing that this law of good not only knows how to create, but must contain within itself all the details of its own creation. I let go of the need to say how my good shall come and accept the perfect answer today. Feeling a deep sense of gratitude and joy because of this, I live enthusiastically and with calm and happy anticipation of more good yet to come. And because there is no sense of strain in this, I relax in quiet contentment, while at the same time realizing that what the law of good does for me, it must do through me. I declare that I not only know what to do, but I am impelled to act, to move objectively. I move into a greater sphere of action and life with complete certainty, calm confidence, and a limitless trust. Today, everything of good in my experience is reanimated, reborn, and increased. Gladly, I accept this and place no limit on the divine givingness. So I encourage you not to limit your givingness in all areas of your life. I want to leave you with one last thing. I often ask people to raise their hand if they're familiar with the show The Shark Tank. Shark Tank. You know that show? A bunch of entrepreneurs on the panel and, well, successful business people on the panel, entrepreneurs or wannabe entrepreneurs coming on board and pitching their own idea in hopes to get an investment by one of the business people, hoping to get them to invest in their idea and their business and in them. Well, remember early on, I encouraged you and had you write a partnership agreement with God. I read my partnership agreement and what we were going to bring to the table, what we were going to do and what we expected of God or what we were looking for God to do in this. And we do look for God to bring about the how, right? We look to God as our unfailing and all-providing source, because truly in that consciousness, maintaining that, we find our supply. Well, let's look at this Shark Tank analogy and what we have here. We're bringing on board a partner. that is omnipresent, everywhere present. There's no place that we or anyone else can go where God is not. We're bringing on a partner that is omnipotent, all power. Not a being that is all powerful. All power that is God. And we're lining up, we're aligning with that power. And how about omniscient, all-knowing, all wisdom? All the answers we seek are right here, accessible through infinite intelligence, through divine mind, by consulting with the divine counselor in the quietude of our own soul. And we're partnering with that too. We get those three facets of divine beingness. And guess what? Everything that comes in to this partnership, we get to keep 90% of it. And we're only giving up 10%. Now, even Mr. Wonderful's going to take that deal all day long, right? 90%. We get to keep 90% of everything that come in. And I assure you, that 90% will outgrow by far and increase so much that it'll dwarf the 10% that you are so desperately trying to hold on to. Be a cheerful giver. Give with joy. This is Stephen J. Kosmina. I love you.